Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. This is our last podcast. Well, I guess that's not true. This is the last preview podcast of the 2017 season. It is week 17. The Redskins are traveling to New York to take on the Giants. I am traveling to New York to watch the Redskins take on the Giants. My dude, Rich Tandler, what are you doing this weekend?
Traveling to New York to watch the Redskins take on the Giants.
And we have special recurring guest at this point. We might have to put his name on the marquee. John Keim is sitting in with us. John, what are you doing this weekend?
I am following you guys to New York to watch the season finale.
You might get up there earlier. Tandler, I'm guessing Tandler will get there first. He's an early bird type. What time you get there?
Early afternoon on Saturday.
All right, so that's about when I'm going to get there.
I have to be honest, I haven't booked my train yet. So I'm probably going to get there at 5 or 6 on Saturday. I was going to go early and maybe go into the city. It's too cold.
I am going into the city. I tell you what, for folks that watch our pregame show and the checking in segments, I am going to the NFL Experience in Times Square, where I am going to do a very dangerous feat that a previous Redskins insider at NBC Sports Washington did, and I'm going to be clocked running the 40 and doing like the shuttle cone drills. It should be kind of fun.
Funny.
When you pop both your hamstrings, what's going to happen after that?
Tandler will be doing all the live hits on the sideline.
And by the way, the one thing I think that's cool with Rich at his age, that the ball drops for him at 5 o'clock instead of at midnight.
We're going to be counting down the last 10 seconds of Skins Giants. We should just be up there. 10, 9, 8. All right. We got some good stuff to dig into. Before we are also, I'm going to set the scene real quick. We are in the Redskins podium interview room. What do you call this room?
I call it the interview room.
Okay, interview room, which is a fine room. It's like a converted garage, so it echoes a little, give us a break on the audio. It also backs up or shares a wall with the Redskins weight room. So if you hear loud music or clanging of weights, that's not John Keim looking ripped. That is the team working out.
Part of the atmosphere.
Right, exactly.
That I don't look ripped.
You do. All right, let's talk a little about this week, and then we're going to get into a bigger conversation about Kirk, probably because all of our conversations are going to be about Kirk for the next 3 months, maybe longer. Tandler, give me your vibe of this week. It's pretty interesting that the team has nothing to play for. This is the final week of the season. The Giants are a much bigger mess than anything that's happened down here in Ashburn. Yet, they kind of have something to play for and getting to 8-8. Just tell me what you thought of the week.
I think it's just been like the last couple of weeks. They've been pretty loose. You know, there's no tension with us, nothing to play for. But I think they seem to be focused. You know, we don't get to see much of practice, but they're certainly paying attention, trying to get things done. And I do think that they want to win.
I do too. Kyle?
I agree. I think it matters to them to get to 8-8, and it's not going to – you're not throwing parades on Constitution Avenue for three straight non-losing seasons.
No.
That – although, who is it? Maybe the Wizards would raise that to the Raptors. I don't know. But, you know –
basically an attendance banner.
Correct. Yeah. But – it's as they say, it's better to finish 8-8 than 7-9. And I do think they want to kind of get away from that stigma of the losing seasons and trying to build something going forward. I think when you look at what they've gone through this year, 8-8 is a pretty good mark.
With the injuries.
And that's not to excuse, that's not to say there are certain games you couldn't have done better, played better, or won even with the injuries. I mean, you know, so that I don't want to give excuses, but they did go through a lot to get to this point. So I think finishing with a 500 record is better than not.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting, and maybe we talked about this, Tandler, but I don't know if we talked about it on the pod or we just kind of talked about it. I think you can argue this is Jay Gruden's best coaching job, especially if they get to 8-8. Now, I know they went 9-7 in 2015 and they won the division. They didn't beat any good teams that year. The 9-7 was kind of a squeaker. I think they've had good wins this year. You point to that Rams victory, which is looking better and better. I think Gruden keeping this team together after it seemed like things would really unravel
could
after the Chargers game.
Could have easily been unraveled like things have in the team that they're playing on Sunday.
Right.
Or could easily have happened.
Things have unraveled here for 20 years.
Yes.
And it didn't happen. You know, for them to come out, and as ugly as that Cardinals game was, that was a very important victory, I think, for the organization.
Yeah, well, after giving up 30-plus points back-to-back games, the defense showed up for that game. Now, Blaine Gabbert being at quarterback, Brock Osweiler being at quarterback, certainly helped things.
Yeah.
It absolutely did. Now, they had gone through a stretch where you're playing a lot of really good quarterbacks or teams that have really good talent around the quarterbacks like Minnesota. So for them, it's you get that break when you get that. But I still think you have to come out and, you know, whether preparing the right way, whether playing the right way, and they did that. So, you give them credit for how they've responded. But that's one thing that I've liked about this group the last couple of years is the way they respond to those situations. And I think those are the kind of things that you can build on. Not the record, but that you can build on some of those attributes.
And I think there's individual performances you can build on, too. I think what Anthony Lanier has done in the second half of the season, the last five games, I think you look at a guy like Zach Vigil, who's making plays, making tackles for them.
Chase Ruya
is another one.
Because I think he's a guy who, you know, we mentioned those
guys. He's going to be the starter.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He'll be the starter. So I think that's something you've learned and found going forward.
And I don't think Vigil will be the starter, but I think he could be back and be a depth guy.
I think they'll want to re-sign him.
I think Lanier, I think you look at a future with Lanier, John Allen, and Matt Ioannidis next year, and they'll figure out the other guys on that defensive line. I think there's reasons to be encouraged there. Are we finding silver linings? Yes. But what the hell are we supposed to do?
That's what you have to do. I mean, the last few weeks have been almost an extended preseason for them in terms of what you're looking at. You're evaluating wins and losses, but you're also evaluating for the future. And so those guys need to be a part of it. To find it, if Anthony Lanier continues to develop, he's a really good player for them. Now, he's got to get better against the run, definitely has to get better against the run. And I think, but his length and his increased strength have made him a threat in the pass game. So it's just, but if he can get better against the run, you really have something.
At an undrafted free agent price.
Right. Tremendous value. And I'd argue if you have Allen back, you can bring, it could almost be Allen Ioannidis on first and second, Allen Lanier on third down when you're allowed to just use his skills at getting after the passer. And you start to build some of this rotational depth that makes sense rather than rotational depth to make sure guys aren't just exhausted.
And I think you brought up the Allen point is the key, because when he went out, then you have guys like Ziggy Hood and all those other guys playing more than they really need to and should. And I know like Ziggy Hood gets kind of, I don't know about picked on a lot, but fans seem to be a lightning. But and
he's playing more than he should.
He's almost the new Reed Dowdy, where it's like he's playing because others keep getting hurt, and he can do so much, and the coaches respect him, and the teammates respect him for that. But at his best, it's going to be 25 snaps a game, playing end, and being part of the rotation.
Right.
And if they can get to that, then they're in a much better spot. And the key is, we've all done this for a while, or been around this team a while, they finally have good young players to try to build around on that defensive line, and that to me was something they haven't had in years. And that's a good thing for this season to end with.
Amazing what drafting defensive linemen will do.
And developing, too, because
yes.
Lanier's a developmental guy. And Ioannidis is a developmental guy,
too. Right, he's a late-round draft.
Fifth-round pick. Yeah.
So it's and it also should tell fans, like, you don't always get this instant impact. These are the guys, Ioannidis and Lanier are the developmental, the guys you develop. Be patient with them.
Yep.
And I think, like Lanier, there's patience is still required because he was coming from a small school where they're not learning the kind of stuff that he is.
And he had to add, I mean, he's added 25 pounds of muscle.
Right. Yeah. So you have to learn him. But, again, the run is a big deal because he's got to play at a different leverage point, and you'll still see him sometimes standing
up
right. and all that. But once you get him out of that, if you can be consistent there, now you're a really big help.
So speaking of the draft is good because I want to segue to something Taylor wrote. But I also want to point out, for all the angst about the departure of Scott McLuhan and as poorly as that was handled by the organization, Lanier is a Doug Williams find. You know, there are still guys in this organization that are going to go out and find players.
I think Kyle Smith seems to be a pretty good college evaluator.
Yeah, so I agree.
They're not devoid of – It's never a one-man operation
totally.
When it comes to that. When Scott McLuhan is here, if they find a good player, it's not just one guy. It's always a team of guys, and maybe you're telling what you're looking for and all that, but it's always a team of guys going out there doing it, and you letting guys trust them. So there's still enough there to get stuff done.
Big time. I agree with that. All right, Taylor, before we get to Kirk, you wrote this week about kind of where the Skins draft pick can end up with a win or a loss in New York. Take us through that.
Could be if they lose to the Giants, they can go high as 13th.
Okay.
If they beat the Giants, they could drop down to 19th.
Wow, it's a seven.
Now, that would take – I'm pulling up.
That takes a lot of other teams.
A lot of other teams. Okay, all these teams would have to lose for that to happen. The Chargers, the – Cowboys, the Bills, and the Lions would all have to lose in order for the Redskins, and the Redskins have to win for them to fall to 19th. Now,
so odds are the Skins land 15, 16?
15, 16, maybe 17. I mean, you look at, you know, the Chargers and Bills both have something to play for as far as the playoffs. The Cowboys, the Eagles, they're playing the Eagles. Eagles have nothing to play for.
I kind of think the Cowboys will win that game.
Yeah.
Just cause I think
they're
Dak
favorite,
and Zeke,
I believe.
Right. I think it's like a point, but
yeah,
I think in Philly.
Yeah, they're playing their starters, and who knows what Philly's going to do. Well, and then the Lions are playing
Philly's
the Packers
a team
at
now,
home.
Anyway. Right.
So who knows about that?
Right.
So, you know, but, you know, yeah, those are, but they could go as high as number 19.
I argue, and I think you'll agree with me, that first round picks are incredibly valuable, but after. The drop from 1 to 2 is wildly significant, and then probably from 5 to 10. But once you get 12,
yeah,
15,
once you get
17.
Far into the teens, it doesn't matter that much.
It's also preference. It's not like the NBA, like where you have certain guys that you know you got to take him.
Right.
There are certain.
There's no Anthony Davis in this draft.
No, and it's also when you get to that point, it's like, you know, you may think this guy's really good. He doesn't fit at all with those other teams doing over here. So you can get guys who are going to fall to you that you like. Last year, they picked 17th.
And getting John Allen is the heist. It's the Lufthansa heist.
But even like last year, there were like five guys say, hey, where they could say, we'll be comfortable with this guy at 17. Is there a huge difference between them? Maybe not. So they're comfortable with whatever is there. And you can find talent throughout the draft.
Right.
You just have to be good. And
right.
You know,
we just talked about Matt Ioannidis or Kendall Fuller in the third round.
New Orleans set up their season last year with their entire draft. They had a great draft. Kamara was a third-round pick. But it wasn't just him. It was like first, second, third round. They had multiple guys helping from that draft class because they had a good draft. The talent is there all over. That's why, to me, it's more important when you have a coach you know is coming back and the group of guys, the core guys that you know are coming back, to me it's more important to build that sort of, you know, just to build a certain culture.
Which leads us to a pretty big question. Who will be back? Most importantly, who will be under center for the Redskins in 2018? Before we do that, it's time for Kirk Cousins Talk. Real quick word from our sponsors.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
So here's what we know is, even if it's the 13th pick or if it's the 19th pick, there'll probably be a quarterback available should the Redskins need to draft one in the first round. Before we get there, Tandler, this is our last week of practice this season. We had possibly our last press conference with Kirk Cousins here in Ashburn. We didn't get a heck of a lot out of him. Kirk has been very open and honest. Any football discussions, but any contractual stuff, he's punted on. And he was even asked, hey, do you think you're kind of a politician? And he was like, yeah, maybe I am.
Quarterback kind of has to be one.
Right, exactly. But that said, Tandler, let's get your – and this is our prediction on what day are we recording this? The 29th? The 28th?
I don't know.
Well, you got a phone in your hand.
Well,
what day
is it? It doesn't have a day on it.
That's not the 29th.
28th.
28th.
All right.
You know how I knew that?
I don't.
Because Ohio State plays USC on the 29th.
Ah. God, that game's not a New Year's Day game?
No, it's okay.
The playoff.
You're working anyway. I don't want it.
That's true. All right.
They consult me on these things.
I'm sure. All right. So these are our predictions on December 28th. A lot will change. We will learn more information. We will finally hear from Kirk Cousins when he speaks as a part of his radio deal. He's doing the charity thing. I expect we will all be there listening to what Kirk says. But as of December 28th, before the Giants game, Taylor, what do you expect to happen between the Redskins and Kirk Cousins?
Transition tag, and I think he stays for the $28.8 million transition tag salary.
So just to play it out, you don't see him signing an offer sheet with another team?
No.
Do you?
I don't. I just don't think he's going to like his options.
Okay.
I think he'll be at a point where he'd rather wait another year, and see what the options are then.
And they can transition him again, which will be nuts.
Thing.
All right, Kime, your official prediction as of December 28th. The predictions will change.
Well, the predictions will always change because it always changed. It's already changed in my mind a number of times. I had leaned toward him coming back on some sort of a tag. I am not convinced that they want to go that route, because I think you can look at a team like Minnesota and the success they've had with Case Keenum building up the roster around him, and I could see easily going that route. So I think at this point, and part, there's also, this is a prediction, but also just like at some point you gotta get this done or move on. And because at some point it becomes prohibitively expensive to maintain this relationship. And is it worth it at that point? Is he that much better than what else? Just like, I know you had this last year, and we talked about this last year, where it's like, how much more valuable is he than a Colt McCoy or someone else like that?
He's not going to outproduce Colt by 80%, but
correct,
the dollars will.
To that amount. So that's why I say I think they may come to a point this offseason where they say, you know what, I think we've gone as far as we can. And whether it's, whether they're trying to work out a trade, which I think with like Rich, I think then that has to mean that Kirk would be amenable to wherever the team is. And I agree with Rich that I think it's going to be hard to find an option where you say that is prohibitively better than what you have in Washington, or not even prohibitively, just better than what you have in Washington.
But, I get that, but did they have the guts, I guess, to go? Nobody's ever done that before. You have the quarterback, you pay the quarterback. It's pretty much always been that simple. Do they have the guts to strike out and say, no, we're drawing the line here, we're
not
paying them?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. And I think,
well, you got to wonder, to that question, has the true commitment to this quarterback ever come down from the top? Because usually you look at guys that get mega deals. In Detroit, ownership loves Matt Stafford. In Carolina, when Cam's going to get paid, now who knows, that ownership's going to change, but Richardson and Cam Newton have a close relationship. There's been that question, that kind of void in the room for some time now between Kirk and the highest reaches of Redskins Park.
And I think there's always, to me, I've always kind of looked at it as like they've been dating, they like each other a lot. Are you ever going to marry? Do you love them enough to marry? And I don't think the answer is yes. And I think that would be true on both sides. You know,
right. And that's,
but do they have the guts to split up?
Exactly.
Well, that's I certainly think one side does. And I also think the other side will get to a point where you're going to say, is it worth it to go that route? And I think, again, I look at a team like Minnesota, where you can say, you look at whatever success they have in the postseason, if they have some, you can look and say, that's a better way to go if you don't have one of those top three or four quarterbacks.
Well, and let me throw this into the ring, and I think we all use Pro Football Focus in some capacity, right? I look to them. Their snap count data is very good.
ESPN stats and information.
Well, get me an insider login. PFF gives me one. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but I like their snap count information. I like some of the information. But I often don't agree with their rankings on things. They have Kirk Cousins as the 15th ranked quarterback in the NFL, tied with Dak Prescott, and behind guys like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota.
Jimmy Garoppolo, who started 4 games, is ahead of him.
So I never even made my official prediction, which my now I'm going all over the place that you reminded me about Jimmy G. My official prediction for some time, for over a year now, had been that I think he gets franchised again. I think with Garoppolo's emergence in San Francisco and taking the Niners off the table, the Niners, to me, were the reason the Redskins could not use a transition tag, because they wanted him and they had incredible amounts of cap space that they could have front-loaded something. They really could have made it prohibitive for the Redskins to sign him. With the Niners off the table, which I think they are, the Rams aren't an option. I'm not even sure the Rams would have been an option that they were going to punt on a first overall pick, Goff, after just 1 year, but now they're definitely not. I'm not sure that there's an organization out there that Kirk would want to sign with that has the money to make a transition deal unpalatable to Washington.
And I agree with that. And that's why, like, people talk about Denver.
They don't have any cash.
Not only that, but who's going to be their head coach? So I think there's still a lot to be determined there. Not only the head coach, the offensive staff.
That would Elway would have to do a hell of a sales job, right, which he is maybe he can do.
Maybe,
but
he can.
They're going to have to start making moves right away to
and
make
can,
that happen.
I can tell you, like, if you're Kirk Cousins talked a lot about winning and winning culture and all that. Well, you look at a lot of teams that need a quarterback, they don't have that.
You often don't win because you don't have a quarterback.
Correct. But it's like the few teams that, like Minnesota, might need a quarterback because they all three of their guys are free agents. You would expect one of them to be back. Probably Bridgewater, but you know, but that's the kind of place where you're gonna look and say, okay, they have a certain culture, they have everything around them.
I think two interesting situations would be Tom Coughlin related, one in Jacksonville, one in New York. I mean, see what happens with Eli.
But who's the coach? Who's the coach in the GM?
Right.
Now, we'll know all that before free agency begins. But
the tag, you don't have a heck of a lot of time. I mean, the tag's coming
what,
early
Jacksonville,
February.
Jacksonville's gotten a lot of talk. Tell you what, if Blake Bortles wins a playoff game for them, they got to tag him.
They also control him for this year if they want to.
Thought you said they declined the option.
I thought they declined the option. I could be wrong.
Okay.
We're recording in live time. We'll try to look it up.
I think that needs to be checked out because okay. But regardless, yes, they have that option with they could keep him around.
Whether it's the tag or the fifth year option.
I will say, if I'm Jacksonville, I'm not paying him a lot because I think you can get someone else to do probably what Bortles has done. But
if he wins a playoff game, that's hard to do.
And he's been pretty good down the stretch here.
He has been. But yes, I agree with you. That could be off the board if he plays well. So.
The Jags picked up his fifth-year contract option.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got that mixed up.
But isn't that
Don't mess with me, Rich.
Okay.
So I think the Redskins are in a situation kind of through perhaps their own refusal to deal with this situation last year and the Niners just making a move to get Garoppolo, who they believe is a really good player and has looked pretty good through 4 games, that the Skins might be able to roll the dice and go with the transition tag. I don't expect Kirk to – how about this? We're getting close on time. We can almost end it here. – Do you expect Kirk to negotiate long-term with the Redskins this offseason? We all know he wouldn't last year. Will he this offseason?
Yeah, I think he at least has to put on some kind of a show of doing so. I don't think he wants to be the bad guy.
I don't know, because last year the reason why he didn't want to counter that offer is because he was afraid they might say yes.
They might match it, right.
And I don't think they're going to go prohibitively high to re-sign him. In other words, the $30 million, I'd be shocked if they did that.
Well, I'd be shocked if anybody did that.
I'd be shocked. Me too. And I wouldn't. I think I'd be
You're saying $30 million annually to Kirk?
Yeah, would be just not a very good business decision. No. You can be the biggest Kirk Cousins fan, and you can't just sign a guy just to sign him. You got to make a good business decision. I think the question to me is, what would it take? Could they get him for $25 million? I think that may be the cap as far as where you go.
What is the contract you think Kirk signs, AAV? Because I think he wants short-term to try to get to free agency again. I don't think he negotiates this year, because I think free agency remains his goal.
I agree with that. It was a long-winded answer to say, yes, I would agree with that. I don't think there's –
Brevity, John, brevity.
Brevity, I know. That's never been my strong suit. But I think that if I'm the Redskins, I come to him right away, say, here's our offer.
With a legit offer.
And it's like, he may be there insulted. Maybe they're not. Maybe they take it. Maybe they don't. But I do it to find out, and then I'm going to move on and just see what my other options are.
Three years, what are we talking? $85 million, first 2 years guaranteed.
I don't think that they would do that.
But I think it might be. But
you don't
I
think
do
the
think
team would offer that.
Something. I think they're going to have to get creative to get it done. I think shorter term, high guarantee, I think that's what he will want if he's going to stay here.
Right. And I also think the other thing, and this has been told to me too, that Cousins has never been out to break the bank. It's always been about market value or your the leverage that you enjoy. So if he really wants to help build that winning culture, I think it's going to be hard to do that if he's making $27, $28 million a year.
3 years, 78, first 2 years are guaranteed.
I don't know. For me or for him?
I think all three of us would sign that. We're all contract employees, and just so our bosses know, we would sign that.
That's Tariq El-Bashir money.
But I'm going to make it through the 40-yard dash, goddammit.
But I just think that it'd be hard. I think they're going to want to try. I think they know they have to continue to build their roster. I think
he knows it too.
He knows it too. So that's why if he knows it in this situation that he has to, that he would, it would require him to take, or not require him to take, but if he could get 27, 28 here, is that really going to help this franchise long-term build what they need around the quarterback to get it done? I don't know that the answer is yes. So I think that would be a hard deal for me to see them making.
Yeah. Taylor, tell the folks what to do.
Subscribe to the podcast. I guess we missed the review window for JP to wear a ridiculous Santa hat.
Yeah, I'm telling you, something's wrong with the reviews, because a lot of people are telling me they're submitting them and they're
attempt
not going
to leave
up.
Reviews.
Leave reviews. John, tell them to leave reviews.
Leave a review.
And subscribe.
And subscribe, of
there
course.
All right. Folks, thank you very much. We will be back at it Sunday afternoon after the Redskins play the Giants in their final game of the season. That can be your New Year's Eve party warm-up. When you're playing Power Hour with your friends, you can have the final Redskins Talk podcast of 2017 playing. How about that?
Hey, sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, thank you guys very much. Thank you guys very much for listening. As always, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.